Welcome to Lynn Cullen Live, talk radio without the static. Email your questions and comments to lynncullenshow@gmail.com. And now your host, Lynn Cullen.
Oh, boy. Never a dull moment. Yeah, you stay here and be quiet. Hi, welcome to the program. It's hi, Susan.
Hi, Blue.
Yeah, well, we have a problem that I'm dealing with here, Susan.
Okay.
I just, right before the show, I thought, well, I'll let him out in the backyard. And so I did. And then he showed back up at the door and he looked, I mean, all I could think of was that line from Macbeth, believe it or not, of, you know, that Macbeth shall never be vanquished until Wood
comes,
comes against him. So, you know, which means he'll never be defeated, right?
Cause, right,
you know,
except that it forests, did.
Yeah, if forests don't move. Because there is Blue standing there, and he literally has what looks like a forest on his back and around.
Oh, no, he found the nettle vine.
Yes, the nettle vine. Or it found him. And right now he is sitting here. I got a, he's covered in these tiny, tiny little burrs. I mean, they're everywhere. They're on his feet.
And they go all the way into the skin. You have to be very careful. Ernie found
the same
one. No,
I know. Well, like, yeah, well, can we get it out? It shouldn't be. Do we know where it is?
Okay, well, maybe we should talk about this later.
God dang it. You have no idea. And I don't.
No, I do. I think I do know where it is. I think it's on the west, at the back of the garden, on the west side.
Yes, your mom's bedroom.
Yes.
Yes, I could tell that's where he came from. Disaster. Anyway, and he looks plenty miserable. I got because he can't get him off.
No, you have to. I'm sorry. Anybody who's actually listening to this, you actually need to hold the base of the hair at the root and pull it out one by one.
I've got about 7,000 of them already out.
And there is a brush. There is a brush in the back.
That's what I want to know.
There is a brush in the back in the second drawer in the utility room.
All right. Okay. Sorry, guys, but it just happened, and
this is a panicked mother pet owner.
No, and I'm just looking at the carpet here in Bill's bedroom, and all those little things are all over the carpet now. Ones that I've, you know, sort of scraped off him. Oh, geez. Anyway, hi, guys. Hello. It's a program. Dang it.
Well, next I want to offer a defense of, I can't believe I'm going to say this, Kim Kardashian.
Fuck her.
Well, absolutely. But I am so tired of the suits in the government taking after selectively
a woman.
She's the Martha Stewart of today.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, if you can't tell me that every single celebrity on Instagram is doing what she did, and she even had hashtag ad at the bottom of her thing. I mean, you know, I know I don't defend her, and who cares? She can, I mean, $1,250,000, you bet she just paid them to go away. They like a flea, you know, but I'm just tired of the selective enforcement against high profile women. Highly selective.
Okay, point taken. And the thing
not
is,
that she didn't, you know, I mean, if they can make a case, make a case.
There's so many celebrities that are selling this crap. What was the one during the Super Bowl? Who was it? Some guy, who you wouldn't expect. an actor or a whatever doing such an ad. But that's not quite the same thing that she did.
No, they're claiming that she wasn't clear that what she was saying was an ad.
Getting paid.
Yeah, that she was getting paid. And they're saying that you not only have to say that you're getting paid, but in, you know, actually, you know, sort of how much you're getting paid so people can judge whether they should believe you or not. And I think that's just total made up bull.
What, that somebody endorsing a product should have to say what they're getting
paid?
No,
they should disclose it. I'm saying that she, but to the specificity that they're suggesting that she should have, nobody does that. Nobody. You don't see running on TV, you know, even if it's a paid professional, it might say somewhere at the bottom an actor, but it doesn't say an actor who is being paid $1,000 with residuals of $50 every time it airs.
Well,
that's what I think.
The only I happen to be watching the news with Mother last night, and so all I
you can't avoid.
Yes, the little blurb that was on about it and the little blurb, I think it was the NBC News, they said that they quite clearly said that who is it? Is it the FTC that brought this? Who brought the suit?
The Federal Trade Commission. Yes.
Right. The FTC. And I think it clearly said that the FTC did so to make an example. And if you're going to make an example, you go after a big fish. So she is a big fish.
She's a big fish. There's plenty of other kinds of big fish. And it's telling that every time they want to go after a big fish, they go after a woman.
It's interesting because, you know, big fish are generally men.
Well, that's right. But when it's time for a man to turn on another big fish man, they pick a woman.
Mm-hmm. All right. Point taken.
I don't care about Kim Kardashian. I could care less. And frankly, if she's going to law school, she ought to know. She should be at the stage of her legal training where she hyperventilates about all of this stuff. Instead of paying to make it go away.
Okay. I'm sorry.
You want me to talk while you pick nettles?
No, I'm not. He's over now. He's lying on the bed and he's very gently licking one of his paws. He's probably in between his toes and then he gets it in his mouth and he can't, you know, he's like, he's miserable. God. Yeah, got to find whatever that is and pull it out.
Yeah.
Ridiculous. I've never seen anything like it. I did manage to take a picture before I realized it wasn't funny. I thought it was funny at first. Hey, look. I said, Mom, you got to come here. See blue. You won't believe this. And because he looked like he had, you know, the floor.
Yeah, like he was he was wearing camo.
Yeah, exactly. And then when I saw why he couldn't shake it off, it wasn't funny anymore.
No, I'm sorry I brought it up again. And it could have been a skunk.
No. Well, but yeah, it wasn't. So, all right, whatever.
Let's talk about the danger of having children and running for office and thinking they won't tell on you.
Why? Who? What are you?
Oh, Herschel Walker's son posted a video this morning.
Saying
that he'd absolutely had enough, and that everything his father said was a lie and diametrically opposed to the way he'd lived his whole life, And, you know, if you're a conservative and you care anything about the values you claim to, you know, care about, don't vote for his father.
Wait a minute. But which son is this a son that he acknowledges or a son?
Oh, no, it's one of his sons that he acknowledges. One of the, as the son says, one of his four sons. Yeah. And, he makes it clear that, you know, there could be more. But one of the four sons that, as he pointed out, he didn't raise because he didn't raise any of them.
What a vile person. Well, I'll
and
tell
that's
you.
What he I said. Mean, he said, we kept quiet all this time because he said he was going to own it and be honest. He said, but I can't take any more of these lies. You know, this is not.
Well, there was one son that was hotly defending him. I saw a video. This is months ago. He had a video out just hotly defending him. So obviously it ain't. That's if it's that son, that would be something. But who cares? I mean, can you believe that given a choice between Warnock
and Herschel Walker, you would pick Warnock? You wouldn't pick Warnock. No. Who do you think might be more, if you are a Christian, more of a Christian? The guy that
the
made his living as a respected reverend?
Yeah.
Before he was basically recruited to help? Or
well,
Herschel Walker?
Well, the thing is, I mean, I don't know. You've got, you know, does your racism and animus toward, you know,
well, how does racism come into it? They're both black, so what difference does it make?
Right. I don't know. I'm looking at the signs around here, and gee whiz. I'm a little surprised that there aren't more signs up, and I'm willing to bet that people are afraid.
Yeah, they're getting a little afraid. Although in my walks around my roots in Green Bay, the usual suspects are out with their sign wars again, and they aren't afraid of each other. They're neighbors, and they put up their signs, you know.
God, I don't know. I don't know. I mean, the people who would be afraid are not are obviously people supporting Democrats. Oh, now he's like choking. Great. Okay. Ah! I have this thing here that I haven't talked about. It was a survey that tried to ascertain just how racist the MAGA movement is. And now they actually did a survey, the Public Religion Research Institute. Wow. I mean, it just flat out, yeah, it's a totally racist movement. Totally. Totally.
Well, you know, I'm shocked.
Are you?
No. I mean, who didn't think that was one of the founding, you know, if not the foundation of the movement?
So who? Oh, God. Okay. So who do you think the surveys – I was being sarcastic. So who do you think was found – what religious group was found to be the most racist?
Christians?
No, out of anybody.
What do you mean?
Yeah, out of anybody. What?
Yeah. Christian,
yeah,
Muslim,
okay.
Jews, right? That's who you're
well,
asking?
No, out of, no, Christian denominations, okay?
Oh, out of, oh, it's given that it's a Christian, so who's the worst?
Yeah.
Southern Baptists.
Well, I don't think that's a group, but I think who you're thinking of the people that did come out ahead, white evangelical Protestants.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
And that's not surprising. And however, I got to tell you, white Catholics are way up. And as are Mormons. And I'm telling you.
Oh, no, there's haters across the board. You can't. I mean, I can think of people. Why? I can think of people in our own family.
Yes, exactly. So, okay, here's a why on whatever however they scored this, the evangelical Protestants get a score of 64. While white Catholics are 55, as are Mormons, as are white mainline Protestants, okay? People who say they are not affiliated with any religion and are also white have a score of 33. There's a good
what do we get from that? We're preaching racism from the pulpits.
No,
yes.
No, not necessarily. That religion doesn't work. This idea that religious people always have, that if you have no religion, you have no moral center. You have, how do you know what's right and what's wrong? How do you this, that, and the other? Well, it turns out better than you do.
Yeah. Apparently, the religious are being terribly misled. I mean, and I mean what I said. They're preaching racism from the pulpit.
Well, a lot are, yes. The survey
they're
also
teaching
found
a lot of isms from the pulpit.
Yeah. Anyway, the contrast, just trying to determine racists, the contrast between white Republicans and white Democrats is stark. Nearly 9 in 10 white Republicans, compared with only 23% of white Democrats, support efforts to preserve the legacy of the Confederacy. The legacy of the Confederacy.
Yeah, no. I mean, we're just, if that's what we're doing. And, you know, at least during the Oath Keepers trial, we now know that, yeah, see, I mean, we've been talking about these militias like they think they have a right to form and go out and determine who needs to, when it's time to protect the nation. What is this nonsense?
And here's a guy who's a who did the survey. He said, you know, given our history, which people just refuse to know, it's hardly a surprise that a denial of systemic racism is a defining feature of white evangelicalism.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So it's, you can't reach them. There is absolutely.
Which has gone from here to banning books in 0 to 60 seconds. You know, I mean, I really don't know how we're at this place. So, you know, relatively quickly.
Make your head spin. And Susan, the rate at which we're getting there, I am losing a hope. I really am. Now, after we'll see what happens in a month after the election. But if Republicans do if they take the House, we're heading into horror, just horror. And the odds are they will take the House. And the continued rise in the willingness to commit violence and just the threat of violence, the intimidation factor. You see the intimidation factor, you know, just a few acts of violence will do the deed because people will be afraid. People will be afraid of speaking out, and little by little, that's the thugocracy that the Nazis created early on. People get scared and just keep their heads down. And then it's over. And we are, if we're not already there, we are so close. And I think those that are warning, you know, in the most dire ways saying, and I've read it so often from people who I do respect, that at this point right now, it is hard for us to imagine what we're heading into.
Yeah, see, I am imagining it. It's just, it's hard to.
No, you can't. You can't, Suze. I don't think we can. It's so beyond the way we've lived our entire lives. No. I mean, we can on a, you can on in sort of an academic way, like you contemplate your own death.
Yeah, well, but, no, okay, can
well,
I?
But, yeah.
No, I don't know what it's going to be like until I live through it, but I sure as hell can imagine it. I'm sorry, I can. Because it's just looming in front of us. It's not like it's that difficult. The difficult part is to force yourself to look. Instead of just skittering back and saying, it's okay right now, it's okay right now, it's okay right now. And it's not okay right now.
Little Tony is reporting that John Fetterman showed up on a local radio station this morning and did an interview, and that he did just fine. Tony says, if I didn't know he'd had a stroke, I wouldn't have guessed he'd had a stroke. I think he's improving. So he sounded okay, and his head looked like it was working. Oh, Jesus.
Well, it takes a long time to, I mean, you know, yeah, he's got to build new pathways. It takes a while.
Okay.
The good news is that he is.
Allison wants to flag a rising, potentially rising Democratic star. I think I'm vaguely aware of this guy, but thanks for this. He is running in Maryland for the governorship. The Republicans put up a total whacked out, you know, lunatic. And Wes Moore is 32 points ahead in the polling. Well, yeah. Yeah. Well,
no,
there's still an election. You know, you saw, by the way, with polls, everybody thought that Bolsonaro and
right. Oops, the polls were wrong.
They were wrong. He had a lot more support. And I think that's the same kind of thing that will happen here again, in that a lot of people will vote for these crazy bigots.
They just don't want to admit it.
They won't admit it. They won't admit it. And it's
because you can be a racist in the voting poll, in the voting booth, and nobody knows.
Oh, speaking of voting, Susan, I do have to tell you this because you don't know.
Oh, yeah, I heard. No, but I read about it. What happened? What didn't she do right? I was there with her.
Ha ha! You walked into that.
Yeah, I know. It's my fault.
Yes, it is. It's totally your fault, because the fault was you. You failed to fill out the information they were asking of you, the witness.
Oh.
You wrote your name. You did not put your address.
Okay.
And so listen. So here's the thing.
They returned it and asked her to correct it.
It was returned. It was just sitting there, returned. I wouldn't have known it was sitting there on her desk. But, and there was a second call yesterday, 2 days in a row, a volunteer from the Democratic Party called because they're tracking what, this is fascinating to me.
They want
are
those
tracking,
ballots in, yes.
They knew that mother's ballot had been denied, and they wanted to know where the ballot was. Did she have it? Can it be corrected? What we intended to do. And I, you know, I told the guy, I said, well, thank you for this. Gee, thanks. And I said, we'll take care of it. But the very next day they called again, because they're still, I mean, they, and I have to admit that is, that's impressive.
They want every vote to count.
So
they need every single one. Yeah.
Right. So seeing how these insane hurdles that Republicans are putting up all over the country in states they control, which is most of the states, seeing how they work, and they work on you and mom. They worked because how many, I have to tell you, we went yesterday, went to the village.
The town hall.
And brought in the corrected ballot. Oh, by the way, I also saw, I was so freaked out by it. I saw, I said, Mom, you didn't vote for the, for congressperson. And she said, well, there's no Democrat running. And I thought, that can't be true. It is true.
That is true.
There is no Democrat running.
She had no choice. The only one that they, she could vote for was Gallagher, and he's going to win anyway. And I said, you don't have to vote on that one.
Well, there was no one to vote for.
Right.
Screaming. So I told her, I said, as long as we got the ballot back, you can write someone in. I said, write yourself in. Get a vote. So she did. So mom got a vote. Congress. Just anyway, we brought it back yesterday.
Good.
And the clerk accepted it. I had to put it back in the envelope. She gave me some glue. I said, but it's been open. She said, here's a stick of glue. And if you close it, and it'll now we'll pretend that it had never come in before. And I said, are you getting a lot of this? And she said, unbelievable.
They're just rejecting everything.
Well, they've created a ballot that's got so much crap.
Yeah, I didn't see the place where I was supposed to put. I mean,
So you didn't. Yeah. So they got you.
Yeah.
And Susan, if they got you, she said,
no,
but, I cannot imagine.
In my own defense, this is the reason that the second that ballot comes in, we return it. So there's time for all of this stuff because, you know, yeah. But at least on the other side, they've kept the ability to repair the ballot. You know, so if you stick with it, your vote will count.
Yeah, but see, but this is one of those instances where that woman, I don't know how she votes, the people there that have to deal with this crap
are irritated.
Well,
and
they've
impacted.
Got an election to run. They've got a little bailiwick to run. They've got work to do. And this just bollocks them right up. And I'm looking at a piece that I pulled out weeks ago that is titled, headlined, The Right Ties Up the Voting Process with Red Tape.
Yep.
And this is, you know, it was just showing all of, and I've talked about all of them, how they're using every little trick they can. Steve Bannon is behind some of this. He tells his audience on his podcast.
Oh, yeah, that they're all to write in for that information.
Right.
Yeah.
They have the right to request information about eligibility of voters in their county or whatever. And so, and that the county then upon receiving their request has to, in a very timely fashion, give them the information they want, which in terms of just pulling people away from critical work into this, but this is, and there are all over the country, these folks, and I'm sure it's happened to these, that poor woman, they're getting deluged with this crap.
Well, they should send them
as
a bill.
Well as the crap.
They should say when you pay for the copying costs, no, you are allowed under these laws to charge reasonable fees for copying and dime. I know this from the other side.
Well, you don't necessarily know, though, what the, since the Republican legislatures control all that kind of shit, that they have not created the worst pot, you know, saying, and
so
cannot,
let's just point out that not only are they lowering taxes for the people that can afford them, but they're wasting the taxpayers' money for, you know, because the only one that's paying for all of this is the taxpayer, and you are paying for this.
But that's all part of the
plan. I mean, they should be charging
you create a government. You make the government not functional.
I understand.
And then you say, the government is not functional. Let us fix things. We are so fucked. I am sorry. So fucked. All right. I'm sorry. What else do we have here? This is a miserable show because I'm a wreck.
All you want to do is work on your dog.
He's now, at least he's more, he's less crazed. He's sitting on the bed, looking out the window, which could mean that he's about to start barking at any minute. who knows? Oh, forgive me, guys. I just want to, this is an update. Susan, yesterday before the show started, I was sitting in the, in Bill's room. That's where I am.
No, here goes my dog.
Yeah, I heard that.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at Bill's wallpaper.
Yes, with the ships on it from 1952. Yeah.
Okay. I saw that. I wondered if Bill, having spent countless hours of his life in this room, would know the name of the ship, because the name of the ship is written under every depiction of the ship, of which there are. Yeah. You by any chance know the name?
No, but I spent no time in that room, but I used to know the names of the birds on the wallpaper in the girls' room.
Okay. That's okay. So after the show was over, I said to my brother, what's the name of the ship? And this is for the audience, because in case they were wondering if he would know the name that's printed all over his walls. And he said, the HMS Morgan. And I said, incorrect. However, Morgan is correct. But it's an American ship. It ain't an HMS. USS Morgan. Nope, that's not it either. So he didn't know.
Well, he got Morgan. I think Morgan's pretty good.
No, I looked it up. The Charles W. Morgan was the last fully wooden whaling ship in the world. And it was built in New Bedford, Massachusetts in 1847. And when I told Bill that, he went berserk. And he said, my God, I bet it was the one Melville was on. I bet that's like the Moby Dick. Oh, my God, I can't believe it. And since I told him this, he has gone berserk about the Charles W. Morgan.
Which affected his life forever unconsciously.
Well, I think I've been thinking about it, how we are so often not present, we don't take in our immediate environment.
Well, that's true. But I don't know how much you can be faulted for not reading your wallpaper. Yeah, he's been with it for 75 years. 70 years.
I don't know. I just found it, interesting. Interesting. Anyway, he's now all totally into the Charles W. Morgan, just want to say.
Well, you performed a useful service. You sent him on an interesting path.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a book will come out of it.
That's what I was thinking. Maybe a book.
He needs something to do. I've given him more ideas, and they're good ones, and he just won't do it.
Well, you got to have.
He didn't think of it.
Well, I don't even know that that's it. You just have to have a, yeah, you know, something's got to grab you. It could come from a suggestion. Who knows? I wanted to note something that I didn't get around to yesterday, that I just, again, and it goes back to this rather frightening stuff we're talking about. The quote of, and I made it through the show yesterday without mentioning his name, but obviously that's not going to happen today. That Trump, what he has said online about Mitch McConnell.
Yeah, God, and his
now
wife.
I have to tell you
know the people that the people
you.
That we find ourselves horrified on behalf of.
Well, no, yeah, well, but this. If there's one thing this guy knows, he knows how the people behind him who support him read his words and understand
right.
So that he doesn't have he can say, so we'll march to the Capitol. And they understand that that's a call for war and insurrection. And for him to put on social media in all caps that Mitch McConnell has a death wish.
Yeah, it's horrifying.
All caps. That is as good as painting a target on McConnell's back. He has a death wish, Trump said. And then referred to his former Secretary of Labor, who's married to the wonderful Mitch McConnell, his China-loving wife, Coco Chow. Her name is Elaine Chow. He misspelled the Chow as C-H-O-W and creating, you know, just out and out again, racist and putting a target on Mitch McConnell's back in capital letters. Death wish. It's the only part in capital letters. Leaps out at you. Unbelievable. That's calling for Mitch McConnell's assassination.
Yeah, I mean, well, yeah. So going back to where I started anyway, how come it's just so easy to get Kim Kardashian and Martha Stewart for nothing, basically, and this guy who's been trying to get people killed, who has been trying to destroy our nation, who has been doing clearly all of this illegal shit, you know, I mean, and he does begin to seem invincible, for heaven's sakes. They need to hurry up.
Well, here's Marjorie Taylor Greene this weekend.
Oh, God.
Speaking to, well, she's one of, she really is one of the darlings.
Gee, can you imagine that her right-wing husband divorced her?
Well, for, I can't, yes. Here's what she's telling the crowds. This is a direct quote. I'm not going to mince words with you all.
Right.
Democrats want you dead, and they have already started the killings.
Well, I disagree with the second part, but the first part, I'm beginning to feel that way. I mean, I have nominations for that book of, you know, in which it is read.
Yeah,
I got nominations.
People who study genocide say that rhetoric is called, there's a word for it. It's called accusation in a mirror.
Right.
Meaning we're going to kill you.
Right.
It's always the reverse, right?
Right.
It's,
well,
accusation,
it's always been the
mirror.
Reverse with these people.
Right, exactly. And they point out that when you start seeing that, that is a major red flag about potential, yeah, incredible trouble, genocide, whatever.
Yeah, it's scary. I mean, we are looking at the beginning of a, you know, a war. It's just rolling towards us in awful slow motion. But that's what the Oath Keepers are. That's what Marjorie Taylor Greene is. They are the advance of the insurrectionists, and they intend to take over the country one way or the other. And no, I don't have a hard time imagining it. I've been thinking of it's going to happen for the last, you know, since the NRA started arming everybody.
Hear me?
No.
Susan.
Now I can hear you. Me? Now I can hear you.
Did you know I was not on?
No.
Ha! So you were just ranting that whole time. I didn't hear anything you said because I was not on.
No, where were you?
I got knocked off by some spam call that I was trying to stop. And in trying to stop it, I hung up on myself.
and that was just me carrying the show?
Well, you probably, it was good that you didn't know. So whatever you've been yapping about, yeah, I wasn't there. So
I was just saying the revolution was nigh.
Well,
the Civil War was nigh. I mean, it's that's it. The NRA, in fact, armed everybody, and here we are.
Oh, my God. Bob in Braddock just sent me something that makes me so sick I can't see straight. It's the new power couple of the MAGA right. Oh, my God. It is two black people. One, Kanye West, and the other, as Bob rightly notes, the loathsome Candace Owens, who is a black MAGA creep. And Candace and Kanye are standing arm in arm. This picture is taken from behind them, and they are wearing
white Lives Matter shirts.
Yes.
Yeah.
Two black people, white lives matter, and she is looking adoringly at him. Dear God. You know what? We should just hang it up.
That's my dog looking out the window and making everyday Chicagoans jump as they walk by.
Well, my guy is being very good here. He's just chewing on an old bottle. Yes, Barbara sent me this. I did see this. The Onion, the satirical newspaper, has actually filed, is it amicus or amicus suit?
Probably amicus, but yeah.
Okay. Has filed an amicus brief with the Supreme Court for some guy who had posted something on Facebook against the police and ended up in jail for 4 days. And his case, he's trying to get the Supreme Court to hear it. And the Onion has actually put in a brief.
For real?
Yeah. Let me see. Here's what the brief explains. This could be anything, but for the sake of brevity, let's assume that it is a newspaper headline. Wait. The Onion. Oh, I don't know.
How do you know that that's true?
Wait. The brief at bottom, it says, at bottom, parody functions by catering to a reasonable reader. one who can tell, even after being tricked at first, that the parody is not real. So this sounds legitimate. That is
right.
They put
well,
it
I'll keep
brief,
going.
Okay?
Yeah.
The law turns on the same reasonable person construct. The mm-hmm. reasonable reader test gauges whether a statement can reasonably be interpreted as stating actual facts, thereby ensuring that neither the least humorous nor the most credulous audience dictates
like,
the
like
boundaries
Tucker Carlson's
of
defense.
Protected
yes.
speech. Right.
That's the Tucker.
Wow.
That's the Tucker Carlson.
Yes.
Defense.
Yes. Okay. So, pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
They also do have the brief. Does read. There are things in it like this. On top of its journalistic pursuits, The Onion also owns and operates the majority of the world's transoceanic shipping lanes, stands on the nation's leading edge on matters of deforestation and strip mining, and proudly conducts tests on millions of animals daily. Oh, God. Well, speaking of absurd lawsuits, did you see that, again, the horror, Donald Trump, is suing CNN for, I believe, $500 million?
Oh, yeah.
You know, he does need money.
He does need money, yeah. Yeah.
The guy
they shut down his, you know, Stop the Steal Foundation.
Well, not only that, but his business looks like it might go down. And that's his main scam, you know, the Trump organization. So,
right.
Wow. So, yeah, he is seeking $500 million from CNN. And listen to what this – listen to his – what's the difference between The Onion and this? I ask you. This is the former president of the United States saying he's been defamed. He's seeking $475 million in damages from CNN for allegedly maligning him. And here's the quote from his, from their charge. A barrage of negative associations and innuendos, broadcasting commentary that he is like a cult leader, a Russian lackey, a dog whistler to white supremacists, and a racist.
There we go.
That's right. So, yeah, and your
yeah. Did no one tell
what?
Him that truth is an absolute defense?
Yeah. Hello. I think CNN has a bit of a defense here. Truth is a defense.
Yes.
Here's another defense they have, and it's why he knows that he's this is just a nuisance suit.
Right.
Celebrities have almost no chance of ever winning a defamation suit, which is why. Any celebrity who's not
oh, especially
mind,
the president of the United States,
especially the president or former president, there it, you cannot win the suit, and that is if it was filled with true defamation. But all he's hotly suggesting and he's offended by is the truth.
Right. Well, you it'll know, be dismissed, well, and he will have wasted yeah. some more of the those poor people that have sent him all this money.
Loretta Lynn has died.
Oh.
Well, I have a little Loretta Lynn story. Can I do my little Loretta Lynn story?
Sure.
Well, this would be like about 1971.
Oh.
And
we were young
what?
Then.
I was already in my 20s.
Well, I was in 1971, I was a junior in college.
I was not in college. I was still attending the neighborhood playhouse school theater. And I, in the summer, took the summer off. And with my boyfriend, spent the summer, I can't even remember why, in Madison, Wisconsin. We lived above someone's garage in a place where the roof was so low, he could not stand up in the bedroom. Which, because it's a bedroom, what difference does it make? I took a position as a breakfast waitress at a Holiday Inn.
No, I thought it was Howard Johnson.
No, it was a Holiday Inn.
Okay.
The most disgusting uniform you ever saw. Little thing on, little hat on my head, little brown apron, and a disgusting, like, urine yellow dress, polyester. I lied to get the job because I had no restaurant experience. But I told the guy, oh, yeah, I did. I worked at a restaurant in New York City. And he asked which one, and I just gave him the name of a restaurant, and that was that. So I found, first of all, being a breakfast waitress has to be one of the worst jobs in the universe because people don't linger over breakfast. People come at a Holiday Inn. They want their breakfast, and they want to get the hell out. And they want their coffee, and they want it hot. And they want a refill, and they also, you know, the prices aren't that high for breakfast. So the tips are shit, and you run and run and run. I would leave there every day covered in grease from the kitchen, from the bacon. It was the worst job I've ever had. Most of the other waitresses were older women. They were wives of farmers. Tough as hell. So it wasn't early to them. They'd gotten up and milked the cows and then came in to do the shift. And I know they had total disdain for me, and I don't blame them.
All right, get to look like those in.
One day they were all in a tizzy. Because Loretta Lynn was in the hotel and she was coming in for breakfast. I had seen this huge bus outside that did say Loretta Lynn on it. I didn't know who Loretta Lynn was.
Oh, geez.
I never listened to country music. I never listened to it. I didn't know anything about it. So, I mean, when I talk about disdain, oh, my God, their disdain for me was beyond belief. So that's my Loretta Lynn story. I did help clear her breakfast dishes. That's all I'm saying. I did not wait on her. The seniors took over that, the ones who knew her, as they should. But I did clean up Loretta Lynn's table. Just saying. But I didn't know her.
Well, she lived to a ripe old 90. So.
And here's another instance of me not knowing anything about American music. The year now would be 1964. And Susan, I'm in high school. You're whatever. And we
I'm bar mitzvah
all
age. Yeah.
Okay, and we're all in Israel.
Yeah, because that was my bat mitzvah present.
Okay, I didn't know that. I thought it was.
Yeah, that was my present. You guys all got to go on this vacation.
It wasn't a friggin' vacation.
Well, why
was it? It was a nightmare.
It was a nightmare, and that
nightmare
was my bat mitzvah present. I'm just saying.
Shit. Listen, you went to London, you went to France, you went to all those places. That's a great present.
Well, then why are you?
Present.
Well, okay. So, fine.
But my understanding.
I'm just pointing out that you all got it too.
Well, that didn't take it away from you.
Well, it hardly made it my present.
Oh, for Christ's sake. Jeez.
It's okay. I turned out okay. Anyway, it's fine.
Okay,
so why are you in Israel not knowing about American music?
I don't know how this happened. I found myself on a blind date with an Israeli soldier.
our parents probably fixed you up.
Oh, yeah. And it was that blind date was an unbelievable disaster. I mean, you cannot begin. He tried to have his way with me. I'm fighting him off. I was a virgin. And he was aggressive and obnoxious. And you could tell he just thought I was the. He said something to me about Ray Charles, how much he loved Ray Charles, and had I ever. And I said,
who's Ray Charles?
Ray Charles. I didn't have a clue. Now, where am I going to know from Ray Charles? I'm growing up in Green Bay, friggin' Wisconsin. I'm listening to Johnny Sachs on the AM radio, and he sure as hell wasn't playing Ray Charles. So I never got over the sight of that Israeli soldier's face when he realized that this idiot American didn't know who raped
him. So did he try and rape you before or after you didn't know?
I think it was after.
Okay, so that's what he thinks
you
were good for.
Okay. Barbara writes that Loretta Lynn, the Kentucky coal miner's daughter, who's yada, 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 she was a grandmother at the age of 29. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. She gave birth to her first child at 14. And then obviously what? That became a family tradition? Jeez. She also is a Donald Trump supporter. Well, good riddance. What the hell? This is for Susan, it says. This is from Snopes. Is it wanting to, what people are wondering whether or not the Onion really did? It won't open on my computer. No, I believe they did. Right? The Onion files an amicus brief to Supreme Court. Yeah, this is reported by the Washington Post.
Okay,
so
they did.
Yeah, no, they did. Yeah, they did. They done did it. Oh my God.
Now what? Lynn, you are not allowed to just sit there going, oh my God, without telling anybody what it is that you're oh my Godding about.
I am so distracted and oh my God, it's time. We did it. I got to go pick burrs off my dog. Excuse
You're 2 minutes early.
Not on my computer says it's 10:02, which would be 11:02, right? Right?
Yeah.
Good enough for me. My
computer says it's 9:59.
My cell phone says it's 9:59. But, you know, by the time I get to, I'm going to say goodbye. I'm also going to say that there will be no show tomorrow because it is Yom Kippur.
And I'm going to say, may you have an easy fast. And you're going to say, it'll be easy because I'm not fasting.
Well, you don't know that.
I can imagine.
All right, we better get out of here.
Okay, goodbye.
I
love you.
Bye, Sue. I love you, too. Goodbye. Goodbye. And Kevin, I just want to say, deep fix this show. I mean, I'm kidding. I know. Whatever happened. But, man, my apologies from beginning to end. Seriously. I am a mess. And my son is in the air. I got to run and pick him up at the airport here in Green Bay. And we're taking the burr infested dog with us because, well, my son would be very upset if I didn't. So, bye. I got stuff to do. Oy, God. Talk to you Thursday.
Lynn Cullen Live, Monday through Thursday from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. and archived at pghcitypaper.com. The opinions expressed on Lynn Cullen Live are those of the host and do not necessarily reflect the viewpoints of Pittsburgh City Paper or its advertisers.